Good evening, everyone. At 6:32, I declare the meeting open. We acknowledge the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of the land. We pay our respects to their elders past and present. I advise everyone that the audio of this General Council meeting will be recorded. It'll be available on the City of Marion website. I ask any elected members if they foresee any conflict of interest in relation to any matter on the agenda. Councillor Byrum.
Worship, I don't actually have a feeling that I have any conflict, but I do want to raise the matter because a few elected members have asked me about this, and that is dealing with the BMX. Late last year at their annual general meeting and end of year function, they did bestow on me honorary membership. They have done that as a thank you for what I have done as an elected member in that area in helping them with the fence between the neighbours and also the bitumising of their berms. Now, that was done just as a thank you, and I do see my role there still as one of the elected members in that area to be able to facilitate things that our residents, sporting clubs, etc. need. So I do not believe there is any conflict of interest there because I will still be just doing my role as an elected member and liaison councillor. And I have asked governance about that, and it is listed as an exemption on the list. So I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention. Thank you.
That's correct. Where an elected member has a position such as that by virtue of their membership of council, then it isn't construed as a potential conflict of interest situation. Any other councillors? Then we'll move on. Point of order, Councillor Hull.
This tonight in the agenda, and the purpose of that is to bring forward your motion to seek leave from this council. I'd like that done immediately.
Yes, that motion is in order. We just need that to be clearly written up. So we'll just pause for a moment while that's being written up to your satisfaction. I don't suppose you have it in writing, which we usually ask for. No, it is your motion, this procedural motion. You don't have your procedural motion in writing? No. A simple no is fine, but the Ms. Thwaites, who's recording, will do her best to summarise what you've moved. Right. First of all, is leave granted? Is there any member with a contrary view? Councillor Telfer, so we'll put that to the meeting. Is leave granted? All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. Leave is granted, so the business of the meeting is varied. I'll just get the page number for everybody's reference. Page 278. So we'll deal with that now. The motion is in fact the Mayor's motion. So Councillor Telfer, a point of order.
Thank you.
Well, Councillor Telfer, you're not asking for that to be brought forward before the leave of absence motion, are you? Well, rather than deal with that now, I suggest we should deal, well, just trying to do this in an orderly way. I'll just ask governance advice whether we should proceed with the motion that's been brought forward or deal with the leave to further vary the order of business. Look, because Councillor Telfer's variation is relatively straightforward, it's not something the Chair wouldn't necessarily facilitate but I won't make any further comment. I will simply ask the meeting, is the motion referred to by Councillor Telfer, is leave granted for that to follow the deputation? Okay, anyone dissenting from that? So leave is granted, so we'll deal with that councillor's motion after the deputation. Right, so now we can go up to page 278. I put that motion to the meeting. Is that seconded? Seconded Councillor Kerry. I will speak briefly to the motion. Members will be aware that I've nominated for the seat of Gibson in the State Parliament, a new electorate, from Marion Road to the coast and between Seacombe Road and Oaklands Road, at least as far as the City of Marion borders are concerned. There is no necessity for the Mayor to seek leave. That is simply the legal situation. But I've chosen to do so that members of the public in particular can clearly see that there are two different roles. So during that period, although I retain the office of Mayor, I'll be on leave. I can say that because, at least statistically, there's a chance that I'll be back in 2 months, I'll continue to be briefed on council affairs, but not in any way that would give any advantage to my candidacy. I simply need to keep abreast of the council agenda and so on, so that if I'm back in 2 months' time, I don't have a gaping 2 month gap of knowledge. So although I'll be on leave, I'll still be looking after the interests of the City of Marion residents by at least keeping myself abreast of what's going on. It's also a moment to reflect on the fact that it has been a really impressive 3 years for this council. It's really been revolutionary in many ways, and what we've achieved in terms of financial management, in terms of the accountability and transparency and the ability of councillors on behalf of the community to get information and action from managers has been really beneficial, I believe, to the community. And of course, Mr. Skoll, the Chief Executive we appointed, and even Mr. Whitbread, the Acting Chief Executive before Mr. Skoll, have been our partners in doing some great things for the community. So I rejoice in that, and I thank every one of you around the table, because of course no one person can achieve that by themselves. We really have been on the same page for most of the last 3 years, with a bit of friction here and there around the edges. So I've certainly enjoyed the last 3 years. And of course, I may be back to continue the work here, or I may be able to take the lessons I've learned and transfer them to another jurisdiction. Councillor Carey, did you wish to speak, seconding the motion? Councillor Carey, right. So you've had your contribution. Thank you. Anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor,
just before you go further, I'll just seek the advice of governance, and if necessary, the manager governance may wish to ask you about whatever your amendment might be, but I think it's important that members have that advice before we go on.
Sorry, through the Chair, as this motion is to do with the Mayor's request for a leave of absence, a leave of absence is up to the individual, so depending on what the amendment is, it may be ultra vires because a leave of absence can't be determined by the Council itself. They either agree to approve the leave or you will need to vote against it.
So, Councillor Hull, having heard that advice,
nevertheless, I'll put to you my amendment. The amendment is that your leave without pay, leave is actually without pay, without the allowance that you actually get compliments of our ratepayers. Speaking to that amendment,
Mayor, sorry, just before you do, two things. It's important that you have that written up on the screen. And it's also important that I leave the room because I can foresee a potential conflict of interest there. So I'll ask the Deputy Mayor to take the chair, and she may, you know, she can address any points of order if there are any. At this point, the amendment has been moved, so I think I should leave the room at this time, and I'll leave it to the Deputy Mayor to take any questions.
Madam Deputy Mayor, if I can speak to my amendment, please.
Sorry, just...
If I can speak to my amendment, please.
We need to take the point of order first. So the point of order... the first request is could the screen be widened back so as people can read it. That's, okay, point of order.
Four. Should it proceed?
Through the Chair, yes, it is. And the reason being is that allowances are set by the Remuneration Tribunal. The Remuneration Tribunal is the only body that can make a determination on what an allowance should be. It is therefore up to an individual of whether they accept their allowance or not. So the decision whether the Mayor takes his allowance during his leave of absence is a decision for him. And unfortunately, Council would have no powers to make a decision otherwise.
Madam Deputy Mayor, in the face of that, if I can vary my amendment to the fact that we actually put it to Mayor Hannah that it is the desire of this Council that we would be more comfortable if he actually took leave without his allowance. That would be my motion. It's then a matter for Mayor Hannah, and in speaking to that, and I don't think that is ultra vires, to actually pose the question to the Mayor.
Point of order, Your Worship.
Yes, we'll take the point of order.
Amendment does vary the motion. I'm just wondering whether it is allowable, whether it's ultra vires.
It's not seconded yet. I can put to you whatever I want.
If you'll take a suggestion, Councillor Hull, would you consider doing the leave of absence as one motion and then a motion to suggest to the Mayor?
Either way, Madam Deputy Mayor, as long as the message is conveyed to Mayor Hannah on our behalf, if the will of the Council is so. So can I speak?
Sorry, through the Chair, the suggestion was that if you deal with the Mayor's leave of absence first and then potentially have a separate motion that would request that he does his leave of absence without pay. That way it makes it clear that you approve the leave and then the issue of the pay, the request is a separate motion.
Point of order over there, I think.
Question, Councillor Crossland.
Determine whether or not we do agree to Mayor Hannah's leave of absence. Because if it's a leave of absence with pay, we might not vote for it and he might not get his leave of absence. So I would prefer it to be the other way around. Is there a reason why we can't have Councillor Hall's motion first?
Yeah, I tend to agree. Then we can put it to Mayor Hannah what and ask him what his view is of our recommendation. And then it comes back to us to whether we actually accept his leave of absence with his conditions.
So you're wanting the request to him first and then come back. So is that mean that you're wanting that to be done later then again in the evening? Is
no,
you've had to
no,
move forward,
no,
so you want to do that now?
We're dealing with it right now.
So
that's why he's left the room.
So is it a personal explanation what you're requesting, that he would come in and give a personal explanation?
If that's the way he wants to convey the results back to us, yes.
All right, I'll allow other questions on this.
So if I can speak to the motion I put to you. Madam Deputy Mayor, adjoining councils, both Unley and Holfast Bay, have obviously dealt with this. Mayor Patterson elected to take leave without pay, to his credit. Mayor Klein in Unley went a step further and actually resigned his position to actually avoid any scrutiny of his role as mayor and a candidate for the seat of Badcup. Now, here we are in Marion, where Mayor Hannah elected to actually withhold the advice to us that he was seeking higher office in the seat of Gibson. That was his call. And now, clearly, he wants to take leave with his allowance. I put it to you, Madam Deputy Mayor, our ratepayers would be intolerant of this. It's never happened in the city before. It's not like going on leave and going on sick leave or to have an operation. It's not like going overseas. This is very different. And it may well be that the SA Best Party is demanding $20,000 from candidates. Well, let it not be the City of Marion residents that are contributing to that. So I feel very strongly about this. And in closing, Madam Deputy Mayor, it's important for us as a corporation as an elected wing to actually demonstrate to our community that we want to be squeaky clean and beyond reproach, but when other candidates start pointing the finger at Mayor Hannah. We need to demonstrate that we've done all we can to avoid this embarrassment. And for the sake of 2 months of allowance, avoid the situation that we find ourselves in. The matter of the car, I would suggest that Mayor Hannah be very careful with that. Because wherever he goes, somebody could actually suggest that in that Mini Cooper that he drives, which is our car, even though he might contribute to it, it could be a perception that he's using it for campaigning. He needs to be very careful about that as well. There's a number of angles that we need to be careful of. Madam Deputy Mayor, if this was a council election we were facing, there would be a caretaker period in place where he would not have been able to be here last night in the room when cheques are given out to our community, some in the seat of Gibson, right? That would not have been permitted. And you certainly wouldn't have access to a car or any other council asset. And I just think we need to be very tight on this to avoid the scrutiny of our community and political candidates in the seat of Gibson.
Through the chair, just to clarify for members,
I think it's important for members to note that there is no legislative obligation for the mayor to take a leave of absence in the lead up to a state election. He can be in his seat up until the election occurs on the 17th of March. Under the legislation, the mayor is entitled to keep his allowance during that period. It is a decision for him of whether he decides not to take it during that period. Under the legislation and within the regulations, the council has no powers to preclude him from doing that. It is his decision of what he decides to do. Within our current policy, again, it allows him to have a vehicle for personal use. The exclusion that is within the policy is that he cannot use it for electoral or campaigning purposes, and he's quite clear on those provisions. For the purposes of the meeting, I think council needs to decide of whether they vote for or against Chris's motion in regards to whether you approve or not approve his leave of absence. I think that potentially the amendment could be seen out of order. You may request him not to take pay during that period to receive his allowance, but you cannot enforce that because council doesn't have any legislative powers to be able to do that.
Mayor, I agree with that explanation. It's spot on, and it's consistent with the LGA's advice to South Australia that they believe there should be legislative change to address this debacle that we find ourselves in.
Yes, just to note that change in legislation has not happened yet, and so we have to be aware of what the legislation is. I've got an order of speaking. All right, so just to clarify, Councillor Hull, you were talking to the request to put to the Mayor that he not take allowance. You weren't talking then to the motion of his leave of absence. So I have an order of people asking questions. Councillor Hutchinson first.
For business and whether we are treading a line of undue influence by moving that around. So I just wanted to clarify that before I support or not support that.
Point of order. Do we have any SA Best members in the room?
So the declaration of registrations is on the website, and that is available for everyone to see.
That's a yes.
Point of order.
Yes, this governance has just informed me it's not part of the item that we are looking at the moment.
Can I just raise a point of order? If there is a member of SA Best in the room, should they be allowed to vote? Could we have advice from governance?
This item is not about SA Best that we are looking at the moment. Order. Order. Question list was Councillor Westwood.
Yes. There's really clarification, and I don't want to see this bogged down too much. I do believe that if this motion goes first, I have to agree. I believe it's already been suggested that it may look like a forced decision by the mayor whether or not he takes leave of absence or whether he accepts his allowance, and I think that will raise some difficulties if we go in that order. So if it's possible to change those two motions in their order, I think it would be preferable and less complicated for the future. Thank you.
Through the Chair, I think Council needs to be careful in regards to how we proceed here. The reason being is that lawfully the Mayor can take leave with pay. If Council is trying to make a decision to force him to take his leave without pay, that decision will be subject to any potential judicial review. Through a judicial review process, they will be looking for what are the reasonable grounds. Moral grounds don't necessarily come up as reasonable grounds. You'll need to look back to what the law and the legislation say. So my advice to Council is you need to look at what the legislation says. I understand where you're trying to come from, but I think you're going to have to look at, well, what are the reasonable grounds here and what is the legislation telling you?
Yeah, thank you. Through the Chair, I wonder if Ms. McKenzie could help us with the opinion of the LGA on this matter.
Yes, the LGA has certainly put out some information that it is their recommendation that mayors take a leave of absence without pay, but again, it is their opinion. It is not legislated.
Order, Madam Mayor. Madam, what's the point? Is it not the motion is to pose the question to the Mayor? It's not to direct him. It's not to impose our will on him. It's a question that should be asked of him before we deal with the matter. That's what this is all about. It's very different to the scenario described by Ms. McKenzie.
I have allowed for questions and comments to go on because this is a very unusual happening, so I'm going to actually go to Councillor Telfer to make comment.
And I would raise the point that we are dealing with a motion that has been moved and seconded, and we have an amendment which is not clear and not written up at the moment. Can we have the amendment written up so that we know that's supposed to be in writing to the staff so that they can write it up accurately so that we can proceed with the amendment that's been brought forward?
Thank you, Councillor Telfer. Yes. So if Councillor Hull could please give us the actual wording of that motion, please. Okay, so we're in a situation where the motion was declared ultra virus and therefore not accepted. So Councillor Hull sought leave of the meeting to vary the amendment, and that's what he's putting up now. And I seek leave of the meeting to allow that to happen. Once we've got it here.
It's a question regarding that. Yeah, I thought that it had been ruled that you can't amend the original motion, but you were going to take a separate motion without notice.
Madam Deputy Mayor, I concur with Councillor Crosland, and that's what I've actually put forward. It's actually to deal with that first and then to deal with the Mayor's application for leave.
Okay, so there's several situations here, and this is an unusual one. So we have two motions that have come up now. So we have the original motion, which was the requesting a leave of absence, and you actually had moved that it was to be without allowance there, and then that was declared ultra vires. The original motion, which was to grant leave of absence, which was requested from the Mayor, I just have to point out that that, under the legislation, is a reasonable request. He is allowed to ask for leave. The other motion that has now been put up is that the Council desires to put the question to Mayor Hannah, asking him if he would take leave without his allowance prior to dealing with his request for leave, is a separate motion.
Through the Chair, I think the second one, it's not an amendment to the original motion that was put forward by Mayor Hannah. It is a separate motion in itself.
Point of order. I'm just withdrawing my seconding of.
It's very out of character for you not to have a second.
Councillor Kerry, you said you wanted to withdraw your.
That's right, my seconding.
Yes.
A secondary point of order. I don't think the Mayor can move a motion.
Through the Chair, there is nothing within our meeting procedures that precludes the Mayor from moving a motion.
Nothing new on me.
Councillor Hull, some councils do have that, but it is not actually in our instructions that we have for our council. We haven't put that in there. Now, we did have a talking list of people that had asked questions previously. Yep. So I need to seek from the original motion, which is just that there has been the request from the Mayor to grant a leave of absence and that with effect from the close of tonight of the 30th of January until 30th of March. So is there anyone else seconding that motion? Councillor Gard? Okay. Councillor Gard, would you like to speak to the motion?
Are quite separate. It's been made quite clear to us how the legislation operates with leave of absence. It's also been made clear by management to me on the matter. I absolutely do not want to get into the situation of bargaining around with motions, which is effectively what we're trying to do here. So the motion should stand, and it should be left entirely to the Mayor to make his decision on whether he receives remuneration. I have my personal views about that, which supports the current situation, as a matter of fact. of what the Mayor has proposed. But leaving that aside, I firmly stand on the motion without prejudice to any other aspects of further motions.
So can I have anyone speaking against that motion?
Can we be clear what's happening here now?
Certainly, Councillor Hull. We are looking at the very first motion that the Mayor is granted a leave of absence without the... not your amended one. It's moved around. Thank you. Moved on me. The Mayor is granted a leave of absence with effect from the closure of the General Council meeting of 30th of January 2018 until 30th of March 2018. That is what we are looking at.
That's moved by the Mayor.
That is moved by yourself. Moved by the Mayor.
And seconded by Councillor
Gard.
Now, I just go back to the point I made about the Mayor moving a motion. Now, this is a question to you, Madam Mayor. If the Mayor moves a motion, this is the first time I've seen this happen in the whole time I've been here, then if he moves the motion, he really needs to leave the chair, and he didn't do that. How can you actually be involved in debate and still be in the chair?
Well, it's extraordinary. Ask a question on that.
So, through the Chair, the motion on hand is... So, he moved it and he spoke to the motion, which he is entitled to do. There is nothing within our meeting procedures that preclude him from doing that. When the debate came up around whether he should receive his allowance, because that's where the conflict has arisen, and that's when he vacated the Chair.
Mayor, secondary to that, he moved a motion where there's an inherent financial benefit. That can't be in order. He's seeking leave, and it's going to be
with pay. Just to put, and I'll question governance on this, but I believe that the allowances that we are given as elected members, that the Mayor and all of us, is an annual allowance. It is not defined by quarters or months or anything. It is an annual allowance. And I'll ask for Ms. McKenzie to just verify that.
Yeah, through the Chair, that is correct. It is annual allowance. It's not a remuneration. He's not receiving any other benefit that he would not normally receive. It's his allowance. He's entitled to it. As I've said previously, if he declares not to take it, it is a decision for him.
Councillor Velescu.
I speak in favour of the motion. I can understand why some people in the chamber may think that taking allowance whilst you're going for political position, whatever, may not be comfortable with it. And if they were in that position, they would make their own view. However, what concerns me is it appears to be more about a personal attack on the Mayor. We're wasting valuable time on this issue when there's more important things, and more important things to residents. And I'm very uncomfortable with this being used as a tool, which I believe is to attack the Mayor personally.
Point of order.
Point of order.
Councillor Velescu is reflecting on other elected members and disparaging them and making accusations about their intent. I'd like you to ask him to withdraw those remarks.
I take your point, Councillor Hull, but I will allow it as part of the debate today. Councillor Velescu, you may continue.
Thank you, Your Worship. What the Mayor chooses to do will be decided by other factors outside of the election. It shouldn't be our role to get involved in that. If our residents speak to us, we can tell them their views. But the message we're sending to one of our team, who at least had the decency not to run a long campaign as the candidate whilst in the position and create ambiguity to their motivations, has come out at a sort of just before the election and decided out of their own, decided to actually seek leave and not just go off and do nothing. Someone who has facilitated the successes we have had in this group, which we wouldn't have had if he wasn't for the work involved through the mayor working with us and the staff, for us to go around in this forum and then use it to have a go at that person, I find very disturbing. And it doesn't assist the ratepayers either. I think we should be focusing, if we're worried about rates, we should be looking at these issues here, and going through the order of business which is important to residents. We've got people in the gallery and they're not here about whether the mayor will take pay while he's on leave. What are we going to do next? We're going to tell people about their holidays, or if they have to assist in something else that they're involved with and can't make it, do we ask them for a refund of their allowance? It just gets awkward, and I'm really uncomfortable with it. Our role is to serve our residents and not to fight amongst ourselves. And I look at the article that Caleb Bond wrote about councils, and one of his criticisms was that we spend all this time on these procedural matters that turn into yes minister, and this is the sort of thing that I think this debate has gone into. We are better than that.
Time's
I think
up.
We need
Thank
to behave
you,
that
Councillor
way.
Villescu. All right, is there anyone talking against the motion? All right, then, that's the end of the debate. I will ask Councillor Gard, seeing as the Mayor is not here who moved the motion, that if Councillor Gard would like to close the debate, you have that option.
In closing the debate, I can't introduce any new information, but I can certainly refute the implications put upon the Mayor. And I'll say it in advance of any second motion, that this particular mayor has gone way beyond his line of duty in serving this council and all of its residents and ratepayers. He owes them nothing, and it would be my advice to him to take the allowance. So I directly oppose the mover of the second motion, and I'll put that in advance, most unusually.
Thank you. So, all those in favour of the motion as it stands? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Those against? I state the motion is carried. Division? All those in favour, stand up. So we have Councillors Pfeiffer, Councillors Telfer, Hutchinson, Pryor, Westwood, Villescu, Appleby and Gard. Those against are Kerry, Hull and Crossland. So that concludes the matter, and the Mayor can now resume the Chair. Councillor Hull, if you have further matters to raise, they will come up in motions without notice. I'm told that I have to do that in that time of the meeting. It hadn't been accepted by other members at that stage, so...
Now, if we have accepted Mayor Hannah's request for leave, that would be effective immediately, would it not?
The motion states with the closure of this meeting.
Oh, no wonder I voted against it.
But you still have the option to raise the question that you were putting in motions without notice.
Notice. Well, that's interesting, Madam Mayor, because motions without notice and questions without notice haven't appeared on our agenda for probably years now, and that's an issue in itself.
Would somebody
like to move that the minutes of the last meeting be confirmed? Moved Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Pfeiffer. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. Next, would somebody like to move that the communications reports be received? Moved Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? Against? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Now we get to a deputation from Mitchell Park. Thanks for your patience. I hope you've enjoyed the theatre. I hope it makes a refreshing break from your own committee meetings. And I'd be very glad to invite a representative or representatives from the Mitchell Park Sports and Community Centre to come forward, please. For elected members and others, page 71 of the agenda. It's Mr. Ken Kelsall, is it?
Yes.
Thanks, Ken. You've got 5 minutes. You would have been advised, I think. Okay, mate, go ahead.
That's weird. But okay. Thanks for the opportunity. The Moreland Avenue open space and facilities have been a focal point for leisure and recreational pursuits for generations of locals, visitors and sporting community groups. The Mitchell Park Cricket Club celebrated its 50th anniversary in 2017, and the football club will achieve this milestone in the current season. The City of Marion, both past and present, have developed and maintained facilities and playing areas that are acknowledged with pride by the community, a home ground advantage by sporting affiliates and the envy of opponents. The Oval is of such high standard that Metro Leagues in football, cricket and rugby regularly hold carnivals and final competitions for both juniors and senior grades at Mitchell Park. Glenelg Oval was being used for state cricket, and the Glenelg Football Club chose the Moreland Sports Facilities for its pre-season training base, such as the high regard for this community facility. Apart from the sporting pursuits, the grounds and facilities are well used by locals and visitors from family picnics and social gatherings to individuals. The Oval and surrounds are in constant use each and every day of the year from early morning to late at night. Recent council improvements included the construction of the walking trails and exercise station, and has drawn even more people to the park and often accompanied by the family pet. The frequency and volume of people attending the grounds each day has raised the concerns of access to clean drinking water. Currently, outside of the club trading hours, the only source available is at the sink in the public toilets. Filling water bottles and dog dishes is both awkward and potentially unsanitary. Numerous comments have been received by members of the public regarding the situation. On behalf of the Mitchell Park Sports and Community Club and those patrons and visitors to the Mitchell Park grounds, it is requested that Council consider the installation and connection to the existing water supply of a dual outlet vandal resistant outdoor drinking fountain located adjacent to the scoreboard on the western side of the Oval. These units have a top mount bubbler water fountain with an overflow to a dog water bowl and a second tap outlet with a removable handle for controlled use. Access to sufficient quantity of drinking water is mandatory for organised sports in both junior and senior levels, for practice and also for match days. This is to ensure player safety and welfare for all participants, players, officials and volunteers, for both the home and the away teams. This can be up to 110 plus persons for senior A and B football home games or for the multiple games on the juniors fixture. Currently, multiple containers for both the home and the opposition clubs are filled by a hose from a tap above the urinal in the change rooms and trolleyed across the Oval to the player benches. This is up to 50 litres or 50 kilograms of water per team, towed approximately 150 metres, often across a wet and sodden Oval, to ensure an adequate supply of water for drinking and first aid treatment, which includes blood rule, wound cleaning and eye washes. Access to a co-located water outlet adjacent to the scoreboard and players' benches would eliminate the transporting of heavy loads of water across the Oval prior to the game commencement and often during the game as top-ups are required. Much the same occurs with all the other Oval team sports, rugby and cricket and other organised events that we've had at the facility. The benefit to the greater community is access to a hygienic water outlet for persons and animals for drinking and other uses. Many a time I've directed a member of the public to the toilets when requesting water for washing a grazed knee or to quench a thirst or to wash away the unsavoury that was just stepped in. An easy access water outlet would be beneficial and appreciated by all patrons and visitors of the community and organised sports and clubs. In regards to power to the scoreboard, with the assistance and guidance from the City of Marion, Mitchell Park Sports and Community Club was the recipient of two significant infrastructure upgrades, the four towers of oval lighting and the replacement of the previously vandalised and destroyed scoreboard. Both of these improvements are equal to or far exceed anything at any of our opposition grounds. The scoreboard upgrade has provided much needed storage, improved player weather protection and an outstanding perspective over the game for coaches, officials and the timekeeper, which actually is me. The state-of-art lighting enables training in an economy mode, and at full lumens meets the requirements for day-night cricket, football and rugby matches. Mitchell Park Junior Football regularly play on Friday nights last season, and it was a huge success for both the participants and opposition teams, as it enabled people to meet and get together outside of the normal working hours.
Mr. Kelsey, your time is up. Can you just sort of rush to the end?
Yep, sure. The scoreboard is in darkness because of the design of the lights. So what we're looking at is the installation of permanent power, either 240 mains or 12-volt solar with LED lighting that would enable illumination of the scoreboard for spectators, players and officials, enable more match day events to be scheduled at night, and would remove the recharging wet cell batteries for the siren and line marker from the medical room to the scoreboard timekeeper room. Thank you.
Thanks very much for your contribution. There's a question from Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Worship. It's a couple of questions. Two, first of all, to the presenter. Thank you very much for that. Question would be, firstly, how many members are there at the club? And you mentioned that it's been running there for 50 years.
How many members? I can speak from for football. There is approximately, we're looking at, with the juniors, there'd be it's juniors and seniors, be over 100 players. Then you've got your supporters, volunteers, your match day officials, you know, all of those people there. Cricket, they're running five teams at the moment. So rugby has got juniors and seniors.
So we're talking a fairly big volume of people and a problem that's been at the club for many, many, many years.
Yeah.
I suppose the point I'm getting to is this has been a problem for many years.
Yep.
We have a partnership fund within council that
yep.
clubs regularly apply to. The general ruling is you provide 50% and the council would provide the other 50%. Mm. This is the first time that we've had someone come offering not 1 cent towards something that you've needed for 50 years. I just wondered why that was.
We pay rent on council infrastructure, and we consider that this is part of their infrastructure.
Yeah, sadly that's not the case. Everybody pays rent, I believe.
Yeah, I understand that.
And a question for staff. We've got many cricket clubs scattered through the council. Are we actually looking at this being an issue then for every club will be able to apply for this funding? Because I don't believe even the clubs down my way have power or water to behind the scoreboard.
Do they have the...
Sorry, that's probably a question for council staff.
Sorry.
Would the appropriate manager like to come forward if need be?
Through the chair, unless Ms. Hampton can provide any more information, we're not aware of any current issues with scoreboard supplying item or water. And I think we'd have to take it on notice if you wanted to know how many scoreboards did have that connection.
That's what I'm thinking, because you didn't know about this one and it's been an issue for up to 50 years, so it could be that all the others have got the same issue.
I think the point is there's not a service standard that's known of. Mm. Any other questions, Councillor Hull?
Thank you for coming along tonight. I would like to know from you or anybody that might choose to answer the question, the works proposed, will that in any way have any impact on the big deal proposed for Mitchell Park, the redevelopment? In other words, if we actually approve this, will we be expending ratepayers' money only to see it ripped up later when we actually do the job properly at your facility? Right, so the scoreboard will remain where it is.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Kelso, but it's quite some distance from the proposed redevelopment site, probably about halfway around the oval compared to what's proposed.
Right, OK. Well, that's the only question I had, because I'm quite happy to support what you're seeking.
Councillor Vleskin.
Being from a risk point of view, now that the potential issue has been raised with us formally, is there any risks that if anything happens and we haven't acted on it, the council would be liable? Probably more so for the water, but...
Could one of the managers reply, please?
Through the chair, I wouldn't have thought so. The issue would be around the consumption of water, which would be probably an individual's choice of whether they choose to consume it or not.
Councillor Pryor.
I just wanted to clarify. What I meant was that the way that the facility uses the water, having to transport it through what appears to be a sort of trickier area in buckets and things like that, is that something that we're aware of that would be our responsibility, or would that fall on the users?
Ms. McKenzie.
Through the chair, I don't think the liability would rest back on council in those circumstances, no.
Okay, let's move on. Councillor Pryor.
I couldn't give you an end date on that. We'd have to look at specific fundraising.
Councillor Appleby.
Sorry?
What funding does the club currently have?
I'd have to defer that to the president of the sports club.
Questions. Thank you, Mr. Kelso, for your submissions. And we now move to the motion on page 275 of the agenda. Councillor Telfer to move.
I'll move as per the motion that there be a connection of water to the scoreboard on the oval for a cost of $5,000. And that there be a connection of electricity at a cost of $15,000. And I'd like to speak to that.
Yes, go ahead. Councillor Telfer, you may proceed.
I am moving that this be considered in the budget, that it's included in our budget for next year. It's not an instant payout now. I'm not asking for it even to be considered in the second review. I'm asking that it be considered in the budget. I have been going to the committee meetings of this club, and they're not a group of people that ask ask for a lot and expect a lot from us as a council. But I know that they have been most persistent about this need for water, which was explained to you in terms of difficulty of access for a whole lot of users, including the general public. And this has hung around. I've heard about it for a year. And the electricity, we've been through a whole process with land and property of looking at solar cells on the roof and car batteries and storage and all sorts of things. But all of that costs $45,000 if it's done appropriately. And I've hassled about this, just as other people have raised this issue of CPP. But it's our pipe that we would be taking to the scoreboard. And it's our electric wire. And they will be paying for the water and electricity. And it doesn't add up any other way. Because if we went to Reconsport to ask for a pipe for the city of Marion, I think that's pretty low. So I just think in terms of other ways of getting money, the community grants last night, I asked the staff and they said, no, it wouldn't fit in to that regime. It's our pipe, our wire. So I hope that we can support this.
Councillor Telfer, what do you say about the unfunded initiatives process that we set up? I suppose that was a 50,000 limit, wasn't it? So, okay, it's in order in that regard. But yeah, all right, I'll let that go. Is that seconded, Councillor Hutchinson? Nothing to add. Is anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Crossland?
Yeah, I'll speak against. I think we're starting to go into the territory of we do it for one and then we'll be doing it for others. We've stuck pretty strictly to the contribution from the CFPB for these types of things. I take Councillor Telfer's point, but we do get clubs to ask for money to repair our lights or turn our lights into better lights, and we do expect clubs to contribute to that. So I do hear what she's saying. Most of the clubs, I know Hallett Cove Tennis Club, they got 50 members, they contributed $10,000 towards their lights. It's just part of their membership fees. You've got a club here with probably up to 1,000 people by the sound of it using it, but they can't contribute anything towards it. I don't believe that. I'd love to see this motion with an amendment or something of they'll contribute X amount by a period of time, but yeah, on the basis of what it as it stands now, I will be voting against it.
Is there anyone else?
I just want to clarify that this is more about a connection, just providing a connection to part of the facility. I would tend to agree with Councillor Crosland if the club were approached to build a scoreboard. I think that is, and I see the difference between a scoreboard and some lighting as opposed to the connections to an already existing facility that they use. So I do support it. And members, Council's contribution to the upgrade, if we proceed and can get partnership funding, is $10 million. At 4% interest, what they're asking for is about 19 days worth of interest on that loan in the first year. So we're quite comfortable, well, I think we were last time, it came up in doing that. I think that for such a, it's a lot for an individual, but in as far as what we're contributing to the site, it is quite a small amount, and it'll have a fair bit of benefit for the users now and ongoing, even past the redevelopment.
Anyone else speaking against the motion? Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, I just have a question. The question is, how old is the scoreboard again? How old was the scoreboard?
Anybody? 3 years old. 3.5 years.
And is there any reason that the water connection wasn't done when we put the scoreboard in?
Ms Dixon, any idea? So we've just heard from the club in the gallery, but for the benefit of the microphone, it was an insurance replacement and therefore built like for like. There wasn't power and water on before it was built. Ms Dixon, did you want to add?
And just through the chair, moving forward, we would take this current experience and build that into the assessment of any new scoreboards.
So I was asking if anyone else was against the motion. Then I'll revert to the mover to close the debate. Councillor Telfer.
They are difficult line ball issues. I think on merit that this needs some support, and that in good faith these people will pay their electric and water bills.
All those in favour, raise your hand, please. All those against, it's carried by a majority. Thank you. Now we move on to, so well done, thanks for the great presentation, and that's a positive result. So bear in mind that that's not immediate, that'll be going into the 18-19 budget. The next item on page 72 is a petition in relation to Rockford Place Marina. To note the petition, etc. Do I have a mover? Councillor Gard, seconded. Is anyone seconding the motion to note the petition? Councillor Hull, thank you. If no one's speaking to it, put the motion. All in favour? All against? It's carried by a majority. That takes us to the committee recommendations from the Finance and Audit Committee meeting. Confirmation, is that moved? Councillor Telfer, seconded. Councillor Kerry, all those in favour? All those against? It's carried unanimously, thank you. And now we have some confidential items. I can see that might take a little bit of discussion, so my guess would be sort of 20 to 40 minutes, but you never know. So I'd have to ask I'll first go to the item on page 90, and if the confidential motion is moved, then others than named people would need to leave the gallery. So on page 90, I've got Councillor Pfeiffer to move. Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland, all those in favour? That's carried unanimously. So members of the gallery other than those named in the confidential motion would need to leave the gallery, please. And I think that includes... First, we're dealing with the committee minutes. We'll invite people back as soon as possible. Right, microphones off, please. We're just dealing with these confidential minutes.